Well, Jesus was a rugged guy. Now, with us in our congregation today, I see Gloria, I see Joan Cardoza. Joan's like, why did you see me? and who came on our parish pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2010. Bonnie and Herb also did. And is there anyone else here who was on that pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2000? Oh, Pam was on that too. Okay. So all of you saw the Judean wilderness, the desert where Jesus was tempted. Any words that come to your mind as your recollection of that place that you want to share with us?
Desolate.
Desolate.
Rugged.
Joan and Herb, do you have anything to add? Or? Dangerous. Yep. Very harsh surroundings, the Judean wilderness. Very rugged. Mountains. And Jesus would have had to have scaled the side of many mountains to have been spending 40 days and 40 nights in that wilderness. And moreover, as Herb said, it was a dangerous place, not the least of which was because in Jesus' day, there were lions and leopards still prowling about in the Judean wilderness. We know this because it was only a little over 100 years ago that the last lion was killed in the Judean wilderness. So Jesus had an adventuresome spirit to even do something like this, and he had to have been a mountain climber. So we know that Jesus was someone who possessed great athletic ability. And if that were not enough to survive the rigors of this wilderness for 40 days, on top of that, Jesus fasted. So maybe he subsisted on grasshoppers and wild honey, like that other tough guy, John the Baptizer. So are you beginning to get a picture now of Jesus as looking like that rugged pioneer individualist of American legend and lore, like the Marlboro Man or something? Well, not too inaccurate. Jesus certainly was a strong and tough and independent kind of guy. And so when Satan wanted to tempt him, he tempted him according to that, because Satan always individualizes temptation. It's not the same for everybody. He knows where he can get people. And so Satan tempted Jesus with the kind of temptations that would work for strong, tough, and independent guys. So he says, Jesus, take these stones and turn them into bread. In other words, you can provide for yourself. And then he says, Jesus, you know, I've got the ultimate fear factor challenge for you. Throw yourself down from the parapet of the temple. You can achieve great acts of daring do. And Jesus, every man yearns for power. You know, if you do what I say, you are and you can be a man of great worldly power. But Jesus, the athlete of God, is remarkable for his rejection of self-reliance and rugged individualism, and shows that his strength is found, rather, in weakness and humility. Weakness meaning dependence on God alone, not on his own strength. God alone is Jesus' nourishment, he says to the devil. He is dependent solely on his Father. Jesus shows himself to be a humble man. He is going to let God be God. He doesn't have to do great acts of daring do. Jesus has single-hearted zeal for God his Father to be king of the world. Jesus, as always, the great paradox takes our worldly reasoning and turns it upside down. Now, the first time that I beheld the Judean wilderness that we hear about in the gospel today, in the summer of 1989, when I was studying scripture in the Holy Land, what impressed me about that rugged terrain was that to accept the call to follow Jesus is not a vocation for wimps. If we're going to follow that guy who spent 40 days and nights in that wilderness, it requires of us the strength and resolve of an athlete. But on the contrary, our tendency is to be wimpy and dependent. We storm and pout and whine when we can't get our own way. And we are enslaved to so many addictions just to keep us going through daily life. And I'm not just talking about clinical addiction here. We just need so much stuff just so we can live. And even though we may fancy ourselves to be rugged individualists, we are foolish if we think that we do not need anyone or anything. You know, we're like a terrible two that way. They're just like that, you know. They're extremely dependent, but they think they're independent. But the problem is we never grow out of it. You know, even as we get to experience the infirmities of old age, some of us can't deal with it. When we are forced to need the help of others, we act so immature about it. Or maybe we just give up and just die. So we are slaves to our flesh, in other words. We are not free men and free women. Not like Jesus was free. And Satan, whose task it is to put us in the wrong, knows that the flesh is his greatest ally. And so that is why Lenten fasting and other acts of mortification are good in this season, because they lessen the devil's power. And such acts of self-denial are not so much to make us independent of our flesh, but to make us more dependent upon God. That's what the world might think of as weakness. But as St. Paul illustrates so often, that's where true strength is. St. Paul also writes to the Christians at Corinth in his first letter, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. He says, "Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one." And so, if we are going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to be athletes of God. So that our strength is in being weak, and our weakness is our strength. Following Jesus, our mighty captain, we seek nourishment from God alone and not lesser supports. We want to walk the way of humility, letting God be God and not being slaves to our own need to control. We are single-hearted towards God, Him alone being the one that we serve. And like all athletes know who are involved in team sports, we realize that we need each other. We need each other because we need Christ. And if you look around you right now, what do you see? You see the body of Christ. He comes to aid us through each other. Yes, following Jesus is no task for wimps. Will we accept the call? He just needs a few good men and women. Amen.